Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Run down by Tajay Moore. Three is no good. And Gillespie secures, and that's going to do it. The Villanova Wildcats are headed to the Final Four.
It was a fun run, that's for damn sure. But the magical run of the bandwagon that I had just jumped on has sadly come to a conclusion. Our beloved Cougs, they went down to the Villanova Wildcats in a game that took place on Saturday, 50-44. What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. It is Vanessa and Gallant, just me, Paul, on this Monday. Not going to get into all the specifics, but keep Vanessa in your thoughts right now, Vanessa's family in your thoughts right now, too. Things going on with her family, so she's up in Indianapolis right now. Can't wait to have her back, but please send her well wishes, keep her in your thoughts, etc. We miss her out here. Anyway, yesterday, we get a little distracted in the world of sports by the Oscars. We'll talk about the Oscars over the course of this morning's program. We'll also talk about Deshaun Watson's press conference on Friday. But 50-44, the Cougs went down on Saturday in a game that was just so damn frustrating because, as you expect from this team, every single game, they were tough. They were gritty. They played great defense. They got rebounds. They forced turnovers. They held Villanova's leading scorer, Gillespie, to just one field goal. They held him in the game to just 6 points. You think, okay, you hold Villanova's leading scorer to just six, you got a damn good chance of winning. And even though the Cougs could not score at all early, they somehow clawed their way into making it a game in the middle of the second half. And you're just waiting for something good to happen. And they take three-point shot after three-point shot, and they're open looks, and they just kept missing. You know, they shot 45%, 9 for 20 from three in their game against Arizona. And you think, okay, I mean, they're probably shooting a little bit over their head in this one. They're 116th in the country going into the tournament as far as three-point shooting. The odds of them being able to do that again, low. But all you got to do in this game is just hit one, two shots. We're talking about a difference of 6 points at the end of this game. You just got to hit one. And they couldn't. Couldn't hit anything. And it felt a whole lot like I was watching Game 7 of the 2018 Western Conference Finals between the Rockets and the Warriors again. Goodness gracious. I mean, that was really tough. Miss, miss, miss. And especially for a team that's likable, because I'll be honest, I didn't like that Rockets team. I didn't like James Harden. I wasn't really that big of a fan of Chris Paul. I've come to like him since he left Houston. But this team, you just were wondering, when's it going to go in? I mean, karma's got to be on their side. They play basketball the right way. They play it the old school blue collar tough way that I like, that I think a lot of you guys out there like as well. Clank, 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 clank. 1 for 20 from the field. Kyler Edwards, the hero of Thursday's game, he goes 0 for 8. I mean, what a crashing down to earth. He had some bad turnovers in this game as well. And ultimately, the season comes to an end, and it's going to be a memorable season for the Cougs. It's just frustrating that it went down like that because they did have opportunities in this one. After the game, Kelvin Sampson, head coach of the Houston Cougars, had this to say about a team that has made him exceptionally proud.
Disappointed we lost, but I'm not disappointed in anything else. This team taught me a lot this year. I learned a lot from them. I'm sure I learned a lot more from them than they did me. How to overcome adversity, how to get up when you get knocked down. This team won a conference championship, tournament championship, went to the Elite Eight. It sounds good right now, but because we're hurting, it's hard to celebrate that. Time will pass and these kids will look back. Teams that cry care. There was a lot of tears in that locker room, coaches and players. But this team's been through a lot this year. You know, I knew it was going to take a good team to beat us, and a good team did.
Villanova's a wagon, And now you have in a Final Four, Villanova, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina. Blech. All the blue bloods. They're all there. So that's a little bit annoying. You're hoping that you're going to get something fresh into the Final Four. Me, like an idiot, I put $20 down on St. Peter's because I was like, yeah, let's see what happens. It'll be fun for them to win it all. And, of course, they just got completely boat raced, as did just about every other team in the Elite Eight, except for the Cougs. But they go down, and, yeah, it's a bummer. Anyway, I've got a question, and it just has to do with losing. I mean, are there any worse ways to lose than that? When you lose a game, when you just keep on missing shot after shot after shot, and they're open looks, and clank, 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 clank. Why? What do you do? That was the toughest part. I mean, they really just had to hit two more shots. That's it. And they just couldn't hit them. And maybe that's one of the reasons that college basketball is a little bit more of a difficult watch. A lot of these guys can't actually shoot, but clank, 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 clank. I think I would rather be blown out. I think I would rather it go down the way that it went down for Miami, for St. Peter's in the Final Four, just to get absolutely smoked. So I don't think that I'm in it, because this, it was just torturous. They had so many open looks. They couldn't hit any of them. And, you know, you wonder, next time around, are the Cougs going to get back to this point? You would think so. And you heard Kelvin Sampson there say, I mean, look how tough this team was. Look at all the things that they were able to overcome over the course of the season. I mean, two of their best players got hurt, and they still ultimately get to the Elite Eight. And they play a team in Villanova who, I think, if I got to pick between these four teams left, I think I'm picking Villanova to win it all. Jay Wright and Villanova, over the last couple of years, this is a team that I think has really proven that, yeah, they're no longer that team that you kind of expect to blow it. This team gets to the Final Fours. They are built to win in the tournament, and they do win in the tournament. And, you know, in this game, they were just as suffocating as you were defensively. But, oh, man, all you needed was a couple of more shots. That's it. Anyway, over the course of today's show, we're going to talk about that a little bit. If you got some thoughts on it, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. No Vanessa today. Vanessa up in Indiana with her family, wishing her the best, wishing her family the best, and her dad the best in particular. We got to talk about the Oscars last night, right? How many people were planning on watching the Oscars? I know I sure wasn't. I thought to myself, you know, the last thing that I want to do is to watch a bunch of tone-deaf people sniff the smell of their own farts, let it waft in, talk about all the good things that they are doing for humanity, be morally superior to all of us. No, sorry. I don't want to watch it. It takes a long time. Most of the awards that are given out, you don't really care that much about. The people that actually deserve to speak, these people that, you know, you've never heard of before, they get played off. It's not an entertaining watch. It's a long, long event. Amy Schumer's the one that's emceeing. Yeah, I don't know why they made her the MC, but whatever. That's neither here nor there, because we all started watching the Oscars in some way, shape, or form last night, thanks to the power of the internet. Why? Well, Chris Rock made a joke, and Will Smith slapped the hell out of Chris Rock. We do have the audio of this, because it was weird. You couldn't really figure out what the hell was happening. You couldn't hear the audio in the background. I think that because it was on ABC, there was some actual censorship going on. But thanks to Australian broadcasts, I guess they're okay with swears, the Japanese broadcast, which I'm sure didn't 100% know in real time what was being said on the air, we actually were able to hear the entirety of it. So it starts off, Chris Rock is, I think, looking through the crowd, as a stand-up comedian will do, looking for something to perhaps make fun of, and this is what he decided to do.
Oh, Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it, all right? That was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay?
And then he was uncomfortable. And then he sort of stumbled over himself as he was trying to move on to the next thing. And look, I know some people on the Twitch are like, you're talking about this again. Well, of course. Think we're going to talk about what? You want us to talk about Deshaun Watson's press conference? Maybe this was a conspiracy. Maybe Jimmy Haslam paid Will Smith to do this so that no one would talk about how bad the Browns looked in that press conference. Or how Deshaun Watson was basically pulling a Bill Clinton and just repeating the same thing over and over again and looking completely remorseless. Sociopathic at best. Or maybe, you know, it was Tillman Fertitta sliding a couple ones into Will Smith's pocket because that's probably all he could afford. And in that situation, trying to get Will Smith to, you know, make people forget about the fact that the Cougs lost. I don't know. I do have a question, though. So we will bring it to sports in a way, and we'll talk about this, the do's and don'ts of slapping. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. How many people in the world of sports would be able to get away with slapping someone on national TV and nothing happens to him? Because nothing happened to Will Smith. I mean, he got applauded. Think about the power you got to have where you could slap someone and everyone's like, yeah, so courageous. He stood up for his family. And Will Smith's up at the press conference saying, like, yeah, I played a movie. I was in a movie where I played a dad and he was protective. And you protect your family. And everyone's like, yeah, so courageous. So courageous. And, I mean, no one stood up for Chris Rock in that situation. The poor stand-up comedian who's making fun of all the douches in that room. That guy's like, yeah, who cares? This is Will Smith's night. I mean, shoot, technically he should be canceled, right? Based off of 2022 culture, he should be canceled. Instead, he wins an Oscar. And then we get that just amazingly awkward speech, and we'll play parts of it. But my question again, in the world of sports, who could get away with that? 713-780-3776. We'll talk about that next right here. Vanessa and Gallant. No, Vanessa, just me. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Just Paul today. Send some well wishes to Vanessa, her fam. She's up in Indianapolis with her dad right now. We're hoping for the best for him. I got a funny text in the break from one of my friends. It's a tweet that he saw online. A celebrity slapping another celebrity during a live TV broadcast is objectively hilarious, and anyone who has negative opinions about it is a dork. Yeah, I'll be honest. I feel the same way. Like, I don't really care about like how Chris Rock feels. There was a report afterwards. Should Chris Rock press assault charges? Like, no, of course he didn't. But who could get away with this in the world of sports? The very obvious answer is Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady kicked Ed Reed in the nuts once. Remember that? He slid, and he kicked him in the nuts. And there was like a sort of hullabaloo about it after the fact. But not really. No, they didn't care about that. And then it led to some of the hot takers on Twitter. Because some people on Twitch are pointing out, imagine this had been white versus black thing. Oh my God. I kind of wish it was. How much of a mess would it be this morning? You know? I mean, we would have to have somebody come out and say like, hey guys, focus on the big picture here. Russia, Ukraine, USA.
What would be worse, if the slapper was white and the person getting slapped was black, or the person getting slapped was white and the person slapping was black?
Definitely the former. 100% the former. That would have been the worst thing ever. I don't know.
If it was Kevin Costner instead of Will Smith slapping Chris Rock.
Well, could Kevin Costner get away with it?
He probably could.
Costner's actually on the same level where you think, oh, well, he's joking. That was the worst part, by the way. Like, after this slap goes down, then Kevin Costner comes up, and he's, like, talking about how when he was 7 years old, he went to the movies for 4 hours, and he didn't leave his seat once. And he said, I went to see an adult film. Naturally, everyone's thinking porn, and he's like, I'm not talking about porn. I'm talking about the majesty of movie. And I'm like, listen, I don't care, Kevin Costner, about this deep experience you had. I want to know how you made it through 4 hours of a movie without peeing your pants, unless you did pee your pants. And why aren't you talking about peeing your pants then? Anyway.
If it was staged, if this whole thing was staged, they definitely wouldn't have had Kevin Costner queued up to talk 15 straight minutes about going to a movie when he was 7 years old. They definitely would have had something entertaining afterwards, because that's the first thing I saw. When I saw the slap memes and stuff, and I was like, I guess I have to tune into this, because Will Smith might go back on stage to win an Oscar. And so I flipped, and then it was literally,
and then he
ladies
won.
And gentlemen, Kevin Costner, and he told this boring grandpa story.
It's the worst story ever. I was like, oh, wait, okay, I'm already out on the Oscars. This is terrible. Then somebody else came on.
I was like, can you imagine watching the first 2 hours of this?
Just to get to that, right. Like, everyone's saying, oh, this was faked so that the Oscars can be back. People are going to remember that the rest of the Oscars suck. They're terrible. They're not watchable. Takes forever. Good God. Anyway, that's Sean Mapes. He's the new producer of the Vanessa and Gallant radio program.
Oh, yeah.
Behind the Glass. Welcome to the jungle, sir. And we've got a lot to talk about this morning, but I want to focus on this, and we're going to make it a sports twist. Tom Brady could definitely get away with slapping somebody. I think Michael Jordan could get away with slapping somebody in the world of sports. LeBron kind of could.
Depends on who he slaps.
It does depend on who he slaps. He's a little more nuanced with how he handles people that say things he doesn't like. I mean, I'll give him credit. He should be, I guess, lauded for this on a day like today where everyone's like, should you slap a man or not? LeBron just has you ejected. And he has done this, I believe, twice now. And we're not 100% sure what was said either time. I know some people have made some allegations about things that were said that were pretty bad. But we don't know that that was actually said. We're basing it off of, like, Booger Ball 69. Like, hey, I read his lips and this is what it looked like he said in the crowd. That's why LeBron kicked him out. Those three, I think, could get away with it. I wonder if Kobe could have gotten away with it.
Yeah, he could have gotten away
because, especially, I mean, if it takes place in L.A., I mean, no one's going to do anything about it.
Shaq could get away. Actually, Shaq's almost too big.
Yeah, if Shaq did it, that would be assault.
Because he can't slap someone forcefully and it not, like, I think, kill them.
Yeah, I think if Shaq had slapped Chris Rock there, Chris Rock would have gone flying.
Because part of the reason I feel like Will Smith got away with it, but, like, was able to continue his night unscathed was because Chris Rock played it off.
Yeah.
He kind of no-sold the hit. Like, he just got hit and then was like, wow, that just happened.
There was a moment where it looked like he thought about diving in. For those who don't know, because I know some people are tuning in and others who have been watching all morning, listening all morning on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, you're probably wondering, hey, like, wait a second. What's the full context here? The joke that was made was a G.I. Jane joke about Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. Jada Pinkett Smith, unbeknownst to, I think, the majority of people, has apparently been dealing with alopecia, which is a condition where you can't grow hair, I believe.
Yes.
And what he said was a G.I. Jane joke. I'm sure that he was just riffing and did not think twice about how Jada Pinkett had that. But now everyone's like, well, you should know what Jada Pinkett Smith had. I guess. I don't know. I don't think every single comedian out there is aware of every single element of a celebrity's lives. So that's the first time I think that we've seen Jada Pinkett Smith like that. I could be wrong on that front. And Will Smith actually laughed at first for a second before going up on stage and then changing his mind. I don't know if some people made the joke like, well, Tupac wouldn't have done that, because Tupac and Jada Pinkett, I believe, way back in the day, may or may not have been a thing.
In high school, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Interesting. Celebrity gossip. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Celebrity gossip from like 1995.
Yeah, that's true.
Because as someone pointed out, G.I. Jane came out in 1997. I've never seen this.
I've never seen it either. It's Demi Moore. Demi Moore shaves her head for it.
That's all I know.
That's all I know, too. And I think that's all we need to know. 713-780-3776. Who in the world of sports could get away with this? We do have a couple of texts. Nolan Ryan got away with it against Ventura, and Rougned Odor versus Joey Bats. Huh.
Nolan Ryan definitely could get away with it.
Oh,
if
yeah.
Slap someone at an Astros game.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, I feel like he could get away with it in Houston. There's like a local element to it, but this is like nationally televised. I feel like they're, and I wonder if that moment was, some people might be a little bit more familiar with that moment where he was beating the hell out of Robin Ventura's face. I think for the most part, though, if we're talking about getting off scot-free, you're getting off without a suspension. Because obviously we just saw Juwan Howard try to slap somebody, and he got suspended the rest of the regular season.
Yeah, he does not meet this threshold.
And it's hard, I think, today to be able to get away with something like this. Let's see what else we got. 713-780-3776. Memes would have been fire if a black guy slapped a white guy. Yeah, it would have been. I mean, there would have been a lot of laughing.
I'm almost, it's almost too, like, it's too much to think about.
I mean, it's kind of funny, though. Like, people, the tone would have been so different. Because it would have been, like, horror if it were white on black.
Laughs.
And if it was black to white, everyone would be like, ha-ha, classic. What a loser. Other texts. Why is making jokes about regular bald people acceptable, but alopecia isn't? I mean, are we going down this rabbit hole of what jokes are acceptable and aren't? My opinion is all jokes are acceptable.
Yes, and that is a very good point because, I mean, it's nothing. You can't do anything about alopecia. You can't do anything about male pattern baldness.
That is true. Although you can.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You can take Propecia. Your boy's taking Propecia. I take Propecia. Do a little Rogaine foam. Yeah, oh yeah. I have a bad receding hairline.
Looks pretty sturdy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, bad receding hairline. Was it because of the crippling depression up in Seattle? Yes. We're just going to dramatically pause. Let it breathe. 713-780-3776. All of this is Jada's fault. She put Will in this spot with her revealing she cheated on him. Oh, wow. Now we're really getting into the gossip. I thought that, so there's been some rumors about how they might have an open relationship of sorts. And if that's the case, I mean, maybe this was Will Smith trying to make amends. If you saw during the speech that Will Smith gave, they did a little shot to Jada, and Jada had this big beaming smile on her face, and I was like, oh, okay. I mean, I think Will and Jada are going to have a half a night or something like that later on. That was at least the vibe that I got. Anyway, it is Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I am bummed Vanessa's not here because Vanessa would have a hoot. I just said have a hoot. Good God, I'm white. Have a hoot talking about this because it was pretty funny. But she's up in Indianapolis with her family, with her dad, and we're sending her the best wishes right now. Her dad needs some prayers. If you are into that, I'm not necessarily the praying type, but definitely thinking about them right now. Who could get away with this in the world of sports? Did Kevin Gilbride, did Buddy Ryan, when he punched Kevin Gilbride, did he get in trouble? Because it seems like if you're a coach and you slap somebody in the middle of a game, it doesn't work out so well for you. I mean, Woody Hayes, the Ohio State head coach who smacked a guy on the sideline, he was out for good.
But it's maybe if you slap one of your own assistant coaches.
One of your own assistant coaches is fine.
A player.
Okay.
Like, could Coach K slap John Shire? He definitely can't
slap yes.
Bancaro or any of the other guys.
Oh,
but he could slap Nolan Smith or Shire.
Coach K could slap any of his players and he could get away with it. Let's be honest about that, especially with this giant like kiss-ass fest that they've been having the entirety of the tournament. There is a moment, and Sean, sorry to throw you in the spot with this one, but did you see how like during the celebration of the Duke victory where, you know, there's a bunch of Coach K's players, they're over the top of him, they're over his shoulders and stuff, and they're like making jokes about him, and here's how Coach K handled that.
Well, this is the goat right here.
No, shut up.
I'm going to interview.
No, shut up. It's so Coach K. He loves to tell people to shut up, to be quiet. Maybe he is nice behind closed doors. He just seems like he is constantly being your over-the-top, not even father, stepdad. Just like a demanding stepdad. Hey, I had a stepdad, and my stepdad wasn't demanding. You got to, like, there's some boundaries that you can't quite step over, in my honest opinion. And here is Coach K. Shut up. Hey, kid, shut up. Telling somebody not to celebrate. Yeah, Sean, like, it's ridiculous.
Didn't he also, after the UNC loss, his last game in Cameron Indoor, he also, like,
because yes.
they planned a post-game ceremony, which is the ultimate hubris. And then he was like, no. Shut up.
Right. He told everyone to stop talking. And part of it was like there wasn't any – he was telling the crowd to stop because he was saying like, yeah, you know, I'm sorry we lost this game. And you didn't actually hear anyone in the crowd saying any noise.
Yeah, you are.
but he – Sean, in a way, the way that he did it in that moment where he talked about the crowd there, it was like – stage because the crowd was not saying, oh, you don't have to say sorry, but he was like, no, stop, shut up, stop, like before they even started doing it. And then they all did it because they're all under a spell there because Coach K might be a devil. Is he? I can't say. His hair is alarmingly black considering how old he is.
He looks so much like the logo, it's not even funny.
Oh, yeah, he does. That's a good point, Sean. I'm Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes behind the glass, new producer of the Vanessa and Gallant radio show. Hopefully, we'll have Vanessa back tomorrow. In the meantime, 713-780-3776 is how you call in. That's how you text in Hang on a second. Am I having a brain fart and forgetting it? Whatever. You
780.
Know, thank you very much, Sean. 776. Thank you. I need help with this. See, I make fun of Vanessa for this, and now all of a sudden I'm becoming Vanessa for not knowing the number. In the next segment, Deshaun Watson spoke to the media on Friday. What did we learn? Three things. Three things that you will raise your eyebrow at. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I promise we won't do Oscar talk all morning. Vanessa's out. She's up in Indiana with her family. Her dad's not doing too well, so send her some well wishes. I'm Paul Gallant. We have a new producer, Sean Mapes, who's behind the glass. Someone texted in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. I'm surprised we haven't gotten any "Has toxic masculinity gotten out of control" blogs. You were wrong on that one. We have gotten so many think pieces, to the point where I know we're having fun talking about this right now. I don't even want to see what the internet looks like. I saw a tweet. This is from Janai Nelson. "I know we're all still processing, but the way casual violence was normalized tonight by a collective national audience will have consequences that we can't even fathom in the moment." No, it was a really famous guy who is borderline untouchable, got away with slapping somebody, and he was being cheered by his peers because they are all out of touch. That's it. That's all it was. Judd Apatow tweeted that Will Smith could have killed him. I don't know about that. Chris Rock seemed to know that the slap was coming at the very last second because you saw he kind of leaned with it. So I don't think he was going to kill him. If we're talking Andre the Giant, if we're talking Shaquille O'Neal, different story, 100%. So on Friday, Deshaun Watson had his introductory press conference with the Cleveland Browns. And weirdly, Jimmy Haslam, owner of the Cleveland Browns, couldn't make it, which I thought was really lame. I mean, you're an owner of an NFL team. And they did a Zoom session a little bit afterwards, but my God, they're really trying to distance themselves from this whole thing. Football ops made this decision, not ownership. I didn't say the Browns need an adult at the quarterback position. I didn't say that at all. Over the course of the Deshaun Watson press conference, there was a lot of things that stood out to me, mainly that he said absolutely nothing, and he was borderline sociopathic with the way that he was describing everything. Maybe that means he didn't do anything. I highly doubt it. Again, 22 civil suits against him. 22. And everything about this is weird. The first thing that was clearly BS was when Deshaun Watson was asked about the contract that he signed with the Cleveland Browns and how much of a factor that was in his decision.
Actually, it had nothing to do with the contract. I didn't know about the contract until I told my agent that I wanted to come and be a Cleveland Brown. That was secondary. That was after the fact that we spoke on the phone with AB and Kevin and the Haslam family. So that had nothing to do with me choosing the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, my ass. That's just completely wrong. There's no way that the money was not a major factor here. I suppose devil's advocate argument is that this was the kind of money that every single team was expecting to pay Deshaun Watson. You could make that argument if you really want to. But come on, $230 million guaranteed. It's the most money guaranteed for any player in NFL history ever. You're trying to tell me that that wasn't a factor. That team willing to bend over backwards for you, despite some of the things off the field that may still, I say, potentially make the Browns look bad. They were willing to give him $230 million. Come on. You have money that you need to pay your legal fees, to pay your, I would imagine, upcoming settlements, even though you denied that you're going to settle anything. There's a clear plan in this Deshaun Watson press conference. And Watson kept going back to the same thing, and it did remind me, I don't remember the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky press conference particularly well, but I do remember him vividly saying, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman." And I don't know if he said it multiple times over the course of the whole thing, but Deshaun Watson kept on going back to saying the three same things over and over again. Here is Deshaun Watson.
"I can't speak on what people opinions are, because everyone have their own opinions, but what I can continue to do is tell the truth And that is, I've never assaulted or disrespected or harassed any woman in my life. Like I said before, I was raised differently. That's not my DNA. That's not my culture. That's not me as a person. And that's not how I was raised. And for me, that's to continue to push forward and show people that who I really am.
I never assaulted, never disrespected, and never harassed any woman in my life. He said that at least three times during the press conference, if not more. When you hear something that's that specific being said over and over again in a press conference, the reason that you hear it is because he has been coached to say that. Whether that was by Rusty Harden or the Browns or a groupthink meeting, he was 100% coached to say that. That's whenever he was in the corner, that's akin to a boxer grabbing the boxer and trying to stop the match. That was his way of basically resetting and saying nothing while pretending to say something. Because it wasn't just that he said, like, I'd never assaulted, never disrespected, and never harassed any woman in my life. It's also this. He kept saying that eventually, when I'm allowed to, I will tell you what happened. I will share my truth, if you will. He kept saying that too. But here's the thing. No one's going to push him on it. There's never going to be a moment where Watson makes himself available, holds court, and says all the specifics of what happens. He says it now. That satisfies the reporters that are immediately in the room. They're like, okay, well, I guess we ask about this down the road. But 15 minutes, 15 days, 15 weeks later, people are going to stop caring as much about it, especially once he goes on the football field and theoretically succeeds. The questions are never going to come back up unless you have somebody that is not on the local beat that is there, some sort of a national reporter. And how often is that going to happen? I mean, it's going to happen more now that the Browns are a more relevant team just because of the fact that they got Deshaun Watson in. But they played this exceptionally craftily. Should we be surprised? It's Rusty Harden. I mean, I think the only thing I'm surprised by is Rusty Harden wasn't up there, you know? Basically making it as if he were Michael Corleone's lawyer, the guy that Robert Duvall plays in The Godfather or something like that. Like putting the hand in front of the microphone. Oh, yes. Yes, getting back to what I was saying originally, I never assaulted, never disrespected, and never harassed any woman in my life. Congratulations to the Browns doing this on a Friday, by the way. Really good job. Smart. That's how you play the media game. Deshaun Watson at his press conference on Friday, introductory press conference with the Cleveland Browns. This is where he was the most full of it. Why, Deshaun, did you need so many massage therapists? Here was his answer.
Yeah, I can't get too far into detail because there's an ongoing investigation still. Mm-hmm. But I can say that with this now day and age, especially with my age group, social media is a big business part that goes into it. So that's, you know, a factor into it. But as far as the details, I can't get too far into it because there's an investigation going on. But hopefully, you know, once everything is resolved, I can speak freely on it.
Kept on doing that. We heard it at the beginning, you heard it at the end. But in the middle, I mean, what a terrible answer.
As someone in Deshaun Watson's age group, let me just say, no, don't bring us into this. Don't bring social media into this.
Sean Mapes, the new producer behind the glass, you're 100% right. Like, hey, this is not my generation's fault. You're like,
yeah.
He's basically saying, like, oh, and the social media. I mean, it's the social media. It's just there. It's always, you know, it's in my way, you know. I see these hot girls on Instagram, and I slide in their DMs, and I'm like, hey, you know, like, massage me. Are you licensed? I don't care. Massage me.
He almost, like, subliminally just kind of gave away the whole game of, like, no, it's because of social media. It's so easy for me to find these women. That's how I rack up 22 of them. That doesn't actually answer. That's not why you have multiple massage therapists. That's just why it's so easy for you to do this.
Yes, this is. It's certainly easier to reach out to mass text a bunch of them like you're swiping right on Tinder blindly, like you don't even care who you're matching with. Yes, 100%, Sean. And it's funny hearing that because Kyler Murray also had like a similarly terrible answer about like why he deleted all of his pictures off of social media, which again, no one does. And he's like, yeah, well, like social media, you know, it's a thing. You know, social media. And then people
have
like,
you considered social media?
Yeah, right. That's it, though. Like, Deshaun just said, like, well, social media, you know? I mean, it's a thing. Ever been on it? Sometimes you message people. Facebook message, direct message. You know, it happens. Social media. And know what? And I think they did come back to it eventually to try to push him on it, and he wasn't doing it. This was the last part of the press conference I wanted to touch on. Sorry for saying touch on. Deshaun Watson was asked about a possible need for counseling. And this answer is so two-sided, where he's saying, I don't need it, but at the same time, if I need it, I'll get it. It was a really bizarre answer. Here's Deshaun.
It's hard for me to say the counseling part because I don't have a problem. You know, I don't have an issue. And that's what I've been saying from the beginning. So this situation is definitely tough and is very difficult. But me as a having a problem going to counseling and things like that, I'm willing to talk to people about situations to make sure I'm not getting back in this. But I've, like I said before, I never assaulted anyone, never disrespected anyone. I've always been respectful, and that's what I've always, you know, stood on, and that's who I am as a person.
You got it again at the very end of that. The same three bleeping things that he said over and over again.
Because he did start to get lost, and he's like, no, wait, Rusty told me.
What did I?
Never assaulted, never disrespected.
Go back to cheat sheet. I never assaulted, disrespected, assaulted. Assaulted, disrespected. Rusty, what was the other thing? I forget. But you heard it there where he said essentially, hey, I don't need any counseling, but if I need counseling, I'll get it. Well, that's someone that's saying that because, oh, well, if this makes you all stop asking me tough questions, I'll do it. 100%. Like, that's what he was doing there. It was a bad look, the entire press conference for Deshaun Watson. What did you expect? It wasn't as much of a train wreck as I was hoping it would be. He was well coached, but that was my takeaway from the Deshaun Watson press conference on Friday. If you have your own thoughts, 713-780-3776 to call in. It's also how you text in. You can tweet me at Gallant Says right here, ESPN 97.5. And I am curious as to who you think in the world of sports could get away with slapping somebody in the face with no suspension, no punishment, no repercussion whatsoever. This city seems its fair share of punches, by the way, and slaps. We'll talk about some of those next.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Text in. It's a dad joke. We're cool with it. We like dad jokes on this show. Vanessa and Gallant. No, Vanessa, she's up with her dad right now in Indiana, and we're wishing the best for him right now. It's really a bummer of a morning for her, and looking forward to having her back. I'm bummed we aren't getting to talk about the Oscars together because this is the kind of stuff that we love. We love to eat this stuff up. But anyway, hopefully she will be back soon. Send her some well wishes. 713-780-3776. The dad joke. What did Chris Rock find on his face this morning? Fresh prints. Get it? Because it's like prints from a hand to the face. What did the five fingers say to the face? Slap! Who could get away with that in the world of sports? Someone texted in Peyton Manning. I think Peyton Manning could probably get away with it. But Peyton would have to do something after the fact to make it seem like he was joking around.
I was going to say, Peyton has, because that's, I think, part of the reason Will Smith kind of got to skate on it, and there's initially kind of like muffled laughter, is that you think that's just an Oscar like skit that they're doing.
Will Smith slaps people. It's happened in bunches of movies. He slapped Kevin James in Hitch. He slapped an alien, you know? Welcome to Earth. You know, he slaps people. It's fine. It's part of Hollywood, you know? The glitz, the glamour, the Will Smith's five finger filleting your face. Although I guess it's not filleting. Whatever the case. Who could actually get away with it? We got a couple of people on Twitch. Some people said a lot of people in basketball these days could probably get away with it. Super woke NBA player gets away with it under all circumstances. Everyone else gets away with it. Okay, now we're going down a political rabbit hole on this front. I don't know that you're right on that. I mean, we just saw a basketball player get fined like $40,000 for grabbing a guy's phone and throwing it away. And we've since what happened with the Malice at the Palace, where, yes, those guys did not face criminal charges, but they were suspended for a really long period of time. I don't know that we're going to ever see a player smacking a fan.
You NBA players, and I think any athlete or coach or anything, they definitely can't slap a fan.
No, definitely not.
Slap an equal.
That's what I mean, Sean. And Sean Mapes is behind the glass. The question today, who in the world of sports could slap someone on the field of battle and get away with it? And we've seen plenty of slaps in Houston sports history, although some of it has just been straight punching. I mean, Kevin Gilbride getting punched in the face by Buddy Ryan. I really do not know the backstory to after that. I could understand the buildup. Buddy Ryan was a jerk. He hated everybody. So, what a surprise. He punched a guy on his own coaching staff? Whoa, who would have thought? You've got Andre Johnson, Courtland Finnegan. Andre wailed on Courtland. He got ejected from the game, though, so he didn't really get away with it, you know?
But the people were on his side.
That is true. 100%
approval rating.
That is true. Yes, 100%. I mean, that was sort of, so it was sort of like the Oscars in a way, because everyone seemed to approve of what Will Smith did in that situation, which is kind of hilarious. Like, they were just like, yeah, courageous. He cares about his family. More on that in a moment. Ken Giles slapped himself.
Got away with it.
He did. He did get away with it, although he got pulled from the game. It wasn't like he was getting ejected.
And then he slapped himself.
Right, exactly. He got away with it. But, you know, that's one of those ones where you're kind of uncomfortable watching it. You're thinking to yourself, man, I mean, yeah, he's a terrible closer. But, by the way, he's with the Seattle Mariners right now.
Wow.
We will see if the Seattle Mariners actually used him in a big spot. I remember when the Mariners signed him, I was up in Seattle, I just started laughing. I was like, really? We're doing this? He wasn't even pitching in that season. They were like, yeah, well, I mean, you know, he's got potential. Okay, I guess. This one, I mean, Rudy T getting just absolutely clobbered in the face by Kermit Washington. That happened back in the day. That was Lakers-Rockets. That changed basketball forever. I mean, you used to see guys square up with each other and beat the hell out of each other a lot more before then. Now, I mean, that was where fights kind of stopped happening.
I think back in the day, it's different rules.
Oh, I saw a video last night, Sean. Sean Mapes, our new producer, by the way, Vanessa and Gallant, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I saw a video online where there's just these two guys on the Packers and the Lions, and they're just bashing each other in the face. And they both have their helmets on, so it seemed like it was a futile gesture. But this was 1960-something. It's old-school football. It's outside in Detroit, so it's when they didn't even have a dome. Probably was freezing outside. And, yeah, they're just wailing on each other. Who else in the world of sports could get away with it? I think we all agree it would be Brady, Michael Jordan, LeBron James.
Could Derek Jeter punch someone?
Punch?
Or slap someone.
Slap someone, slap yes. Them. I think
play
Derek,
the same game. Yeah.
If Derek Jeter was in New York, he would get out scot-free. Yes. But it would depend on who he slaps to. Like, he would have to be slapping down. Because Will Smith was, by celebrity definition, slapping down. Not a huge drop down.
Yeah, you can't slap so far down, because that's like the NBA player to feign. You can't do that, but you can slap down. Like,
yeah.
LeBron could slap whoever, Kyle Kuzma.
Like, yes, yes.
You could slap down a level.
If LeBron slapped Russell Westbrook, which would be for some.
Well, Russell Westbrook would slap back is the...
Yeah, I think Russell Westbrook would kill him. I think he would actually like take a bite out of his jugular vein, and that would not be fun. I think if we're talking about the level of celebrity, yeah, say Denzel Washington, who apparently talked to Will Smith and calmed him down.
He was a peacemaker in this.
Yes, he was the peacemaker. If Will Smith had slapped Denzel Washington, I think a lot of people would have been like, whoa, Will, like that's going above your weight class, like borderline. But figures in sports that could get away with it, 713-780-3776 is the text line.
Could no Greg one- Popovich slap someone? I'm trying to go like ultimate respect in their field.
I don't know. I think nowadays there's the coach dynamic. People would definitely get mad at Greg Popovich for doing that. Texter said no one would say a damn thing to Mike Tyson. Did any of y'all see the video of Mike Tyson? He's just at a stand-up comedy club over the weekend, and some guy who's just crazy, out of his mind, goes in, wants to challenge Mike Tyson to a fight, and when he goes in to challenge Mike Tyson to a fight, people tell him to calm down. He just pulls a gun on everybody. Mike Tyson remains sitting, doesn't do anything, and then he tells the guy to come over. While he's got the gun out, hugs him, basically gets the guy to calm down, and the guy just goes on his way. Incredible story. Like, Mike Tyson's got balls of steel in that situation. We do have a call, real quick, squeeze it in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. What figures in sports could get away with slapping the hell out of somebody? Jonathan, what's going on, Bob, bro?
Hey, how about when Ed Wade got choked in the clubhouse? That may be one you're missing.
Ed Wade choked in the clubhouse. What year is this? Because this might be dating me a little bit.
Oh, man. I want to say it was Sean Chaconis, I think, was the pitcher.
2008.
And it got wrapped. It didn't make the media hardly at all.
No, clearly didn't. I never heard of that.
Pretty quickly.
Yes, Sean. Okay. Appreciate the phone call on that one, Jonathan. Michael Weiner, the general counsel of the Players Association, said the union planned on filing a grievance yesterday claiming that Houston Astros improperly terminated Sean Chacon's contract a week after the pitcher shoved general manager Ed Wade to the ground and began choking him. Well, see, he didn't get away with it, you know? He did it. That's another moment in Houston sports history where someone, you know, got the hell beaten out of him.
More violence in Houston sports history. But, yeah, I think once you start choking him, it's hard to come back from choking.
Yeah, well, like Latrell's free will, he did not come back from choking. Yeah, that did not work. But anyway, we like the enthusiasm. We like the pep. We like the step. 713-780-3776. So this is on the table. We'll also take a look back at the Cougs and why they couldn't get things done over the weekend, too. It is Vanessa and Gallant. No, Vanessa, she's up in Indy with her dad. Send her some well wishes. I am Paul Gallant. Sean Mapes, our new producer behind the glass. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.